he had this giant like notebook from like SAG's sent out that had like 1,500 headshots, and he just picked him. He's like, hey, he's got a good look. I hope he can speak English, because he saw his last name, and then ended up not being a problem. It's like, they'll figure out what he's trying to say.
How funny. Well,
he didn't really say much anyway.
No. Can you say, I'll be back? All right, you're hired.
Can you say?
Is Sarah Connor here?
Yeah.
Come with me if you want to live.
What if I don't want
to
live?
When he tries to explain what the T-1000 is in Terminator 2, I still fucking laugh my ass off. It's this garble that comes out of his mouth. It makes no sense.
Sounds like you're chewing on gravel.
Yeah.
Why on earth would sentient robots create a robot that can barely speak English? Anyway.
I don't get why
R2-D2 speaks better English than...
I would think that they would want to make, like, old people look like... or make, like, sickly-looking people so that the rebels would want to bring them in to care for them, and then they just explode and just go to town.
Yeah, they look all unassuming.
Or make a child Terminator? Come on. Come on. These stupid robots don't even know.
You're better terrorists than they are.
I know, right? God,
I've always said this.
I've always said that about myself. I would make a great terrorist.
God damn it! I get it!
It was just crap. It was terrible.
I was titillated.
I know you want to go.
No, I slept with like 3 girls a night and no one ever said anything.
Dude!
Oh god, you guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
That's a little bit of brilliance that just came out of your mouth there, Justin. I like it.
Do you want to keep going?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome back to another exciting episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. This is actually episode 99. We are almost to a milestone at 100 episodes, and I'm just really excited about that. And with me this week is Amanda, David, and Randy. How are you three doing today?
Good.
Super good.
Could not be better.
Ooh, I like it. Frickin' Maleficent. This movie came out on Friday. I think a couple of us saw it. Amanda, what'd you think about it?
I say if you've seen Sleeping Beauty, then you're already one step ahead of the game.
Really?
No, that was fine. I mean, I haven't actually seen a movie that's supposed to be, like, technically for kids in a long time. And I could definitely see this movie being made for kids, even though it's actually kind of dark. Well, it's pretty dark, actually. But yeah, it's still very much a Disney kids movie.
Well, let me ask Randy and Justin, so you guys haven't seen it. Now, are you guys under the impression that this is a Sleeping Beauty prequel?
No. I thought it was kind of along the same time, but just more from Maleficent's point of view as opposed from Aurora's point of view.
Right, that was kind of my impression, too. It's Maleficent's point of view, but we also get kind of a view into her backstory or her origin story.
Right.
Apparently she wasn't always a baddie.
Yeah, that was my understanding, too.
I'm the only asshole, I guess, who thought. I thought it was going to end with, you know, her being put into Sleeping Beauty and stuff like that. I didn't realize it was going to be the complete tale of Sleeping Beauty, you know, up to and including, like, you know, Sleeping Beauty waking up and completely changing all of that, you know. Someday my prince will come is not so much a thing in this movie. I was definitely confused, I guess, which is funny since I posted like 13 trailers and featurettes.
But even in the trailer,
apparently you haven't been reading what you've been writing.
Even in the trailer, you see Aurora and you see the spinning wheel.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Dave?
No, I understand. I thought this movie was going to end with her going sleep, like that was.
Oh, yeah, I see. She touches it, she closes her eyes, then boom, credits. We're all asleep with her.
No, it was going to be like Maleficent's turn to the dark side. Like this, I thought this was going to be like the episode 3. We were going to find out why Maleficent became bad. To where this movie, Maleficent doesn't become bad. Maleficent is not a bad guy at the end of this movie. Spoiler alert.
Dang.
So I was in the impression that this movie was going to show us Maleficent is a tragic hero, you know, she was a good girl, and then shit happened and she became a bad guy, and then she was the villain who had to be stopped. But that wasn't the story we're going to show. We were going to show just her as a good guy going bad, and then Sleeping Beauty was going to stand on its own as, you know, how we stop Maleficent. I wasn't prepared for this to be
a retelling.
Right, let's completely change everything. Maleficent is not a bad guy, and go throughout the whole thing. But I mean, I enjoyed it. It was nice.
Sounds like it.
No, I was just, like I said, I was just surprised. But it was less than 100 minutes. It was 99 minutes. So it's a nice little quick in and out movie. And do you guys know when the last time Angelina Jolie was in front of the camera?
Yeah, Salt.
No. Little,
same year, 2010. She did Salt and The Tourist. But
The Tourist.
That was actually the last time.
The Tourist was 2010.
Yeah, so she hasn't been in front of the camera for 4 years. And so it was kind of, I had to kind of step back and let that sink in. But overall, that was a pretty good movie.
What does that mean? That she looks different?
No, it was just, I hadn't realized that she'd been gone. Yeah.
Oh.
Because she's always...
I didn't realize she was gone that long.
She's been lazy.
Yeah, she's always in, like, the tabloids. She's always in, like, newspapers. And she's always in, like, the press. And you don't realize that she hasn't really had... I mean, she did Kung Fu Panda, but that was a, you know, voiceover. She hasn't actually acted in a film for 4 years. So it's just kind of surprising that...
She's been raising her 20 kids.
Yeah, she's got a lot.
They take time.
I thought it was enjoyable too. Actually, it made me realize how many super long movies I've been watching because it felt really short. Like, you know, Captain America and X-Men and all those. They're clock in at, well, at 2 hours, sometimes longer. So
I'm with you.
Yeah. Nice in out.
The old in and out.
Yeah, the old in and out.
I kind of wish they'd spent a little bit more time establishing her relationship with Stefan.
Stefan, like Urkel when he goes
dirty? No, Aurora's father.
Oh.
The king!
Oh, do they have a little romance?
They did have a little romance.
What?
But it's like all of 5 minutes.
Oh.
It's basically exposition.
Like, hit it and quit it. Did he promise her the kingdom, but then, and then changed his mind and met some other broad?
No, he was even more of a dick than that.
Oh.
He grabbed onto her horns from behind and said, giddy up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cuts off her wings.
He basically raped her, you guys.
Oh, shit.
See, there it comes back to the rape.
The R word.
Yes. But it's like, it's obviously very bad, and he suffers for it his entire life, and he actually goes crazy, so.
Man.
Doesn't end well for
this
him.
This is a Disney movie?
Yeah, right?
With the R word?
No, well, he doesn't actually, but he does drug her and then cut her wings off, so I think that's pretty analogous to rape.
It's like a roofie.
Yeah.
Disney roofie.
I should say so.
It's like the Eighth Dwarf.
But
yeah. I can see that, Dave. What do you guys give it on a grading scale?
I'd give it a B.
Oh yeah. Shit!
What do you give it? Same thing. I'd say B.
What?
It's definitely
Hate
worth
everything.
Out.
If it's not Lincoln or Warhorse or fucking the Butler, you're just not.
I'm pretty sure I didn't
the
give
the Annals the Butler.
Yeah,
Tyler Perry's Maleficent.
I don't think I gave positive views to any of those films. A movie I would give a shitty grade to was A Million Ways to Die in the West. Did you guys see that movie?
I did not. It looked
terrible.
I didn't
know that was out yet.
Yeah, it came out the same day as Maleficent, and it made $17 million as opposed to Maleficent 70.
That's not bad for comedy, though.
Well, I mean, it
Ted did like 35 or 70 or
Ted,
something.
Ted did 54.
Hey, that was close.
Yes, so they were hoping for Ted-type money. But this movie's going to fall off the face of the earth next week. It got terrible word of mouth. And it just wasn't that good. I think Seth MacFarlane needs to stay behind the camera.
Voice bothers me.
That's why he's famous, no?
No, but I mean, when he's doing voice acting, I'm fine with it. But when I see him talking, it really bothers me. I think because he's done so much voice acting that I just, like, I don't associate his voice with any one thing, and then I see him talking, it freaks me out.
You know, it's funny you said, speaking of voice acting, did you guys know that Casey Kasem was missing?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Quote unquote missing.
His crazy wife had him, like, they went to some damn place and he was, like, locked inside. He has all these medical issues and his kids were forbidden from seeing him.
What's up with that?
His daughter had to get a court order and physically show up on the doorstep of this place that his wife was keeping him locked up with paramedics there. They brought an ambulance to take him away so that he could immediately go to the hospital. But his crazy-ass wife wouldn't let him in. So they had to call the cops, and the fire department came, and another ambulance came, and they literally had to force their way in to get him. And the whole time, his crazy wife is chanting something about God and quoting the Bible and all this crazy stuff as they're taking him away to the hospital.
What the fuck, dude?
She was just completely crazy.
Dude!
Allegedly, from the sound of it. But getting back to A Million Ways to Die in the West, I haven't seen it yet. But David, it sounds like you're the only one here who has. I have a question for you.
Sure.
I was kind of lukewarm about whether or not I wanted to see it. But the deciding factor for me that made me want to see it was a tiny little snippet, like a 3-second scene that they show at the end of the commercials with freaking Doc Brown and the DeLorean. A, is that in the movie? And B,
Is that worth watching?
Is Christopher Lloyd in it for more than just that, like, 5 seconds?
It's about what you see in the trailer.
All right. It's still that made me happy in my pants, and it made me smile, and that almost warrants watching the movie just for me because of the personal ties to Back to the Future.
Yeah.
And that's all.
Watch it on HBO or something.
Yeah, you know what?
It's a fun, like, 10 o'clock at night, a can't sleep movie. Like totally.
But not making an outing to the theater.
Maybe. Yeah.
Right, yeah. That's pretty much what I thought. Thank you for confirming that.
You're welcome.
I like it. What other movie news can you confirm for us, Dave?
I saw Edge of Tomorrow today.
Oh, how was that?
Wait, what?
thought you'd like that.
I did like it.
I think Bill Paxton is amazing in it, and I know we're all big fans of Bill Paxton, and he steals the show here.
What? And we get to see him over and over and over again, right?
We do. We get to see him because he's the second person that Tom Cruise sees when he wakes up from being killed over and over and over and over. And so, we see him quite a bit. And he's got this fun Southern accent, this funny haircut, and this funny hat, and he's just having a good old time.
He's the Punxsutawney Phil in this scenario.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, did you
I'd say he's Ned. Actually, it's really good. I think that it's going to bomb at the box office and no one's going to see it, but it's pretty cool. It's definitely got an Aliens vibe to it. Just that whole super military kind of frenetic action feel.
You think no one's going to see it because the concept is too confusing, or they didn't market it enough?
Or is it the Tom Cruise factor?
I think Tom Cruise is great in it. I mean, it's like vintage Tom Cruise. I mean, it helps that Tom Cruise does not seem to age. That Scientology must be working for him because he looks exactly the same as he did, you know, in A Few Good Men in like 94. You know, that's 20 years ago, and he looks just like that.
Yeah, he's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, he looks good, and he's really good in this role because, you know, he's got to start off as this like little wimp who's trying to like get out of fighting in the war, and then by the end he's just badass soldier because he's died 1,000 times. I will say that watching him die over and over and over again is very gratifying, not because he's Tom Cruise, but it's just really well done, you know, seeing him like learn, because at one point it's just this montage and you see him
dying.
Yeah, so the first time you see him, he dies like almost instantly on the beach, and then he gets a couple feet forward, he gets hit by a truck or something, he gets a couple feet forward, he gets killed, and it's just, you see this progression over like all these times he keeps dying and dying and dying and dying. And it's just a real fun little scenario. And, you know, then he wakes up and he's trying to get through like the mundane, boring part of his day faster. And so like, he's like, just like rushing like Bill Paxton's character through. And it's a lot of fun. Story's kind of confusing. And that's where I think it's going to lose a lot of people. I don't think that, you know, your average moviegoer is on their radar. I think it's kind of getting buried in between like Days of Future Past and, you know, whatever else you're excited about during the summer. And I think it's going to kind of be like Oblivion, to where, you know, it'll make probably about $100 million or so. So it'll be a mild disappointment to the box office, and overseas it'll do a little bit better. But I would recommend it highly. I enjoyed it. I would give it a B+.
I like the director,
Doug Liman.
Yeah. I like Bourne Identity and Swingers, and I even like Go. I like Go a lot.
Do you like Go?
That's kind of like that whole, you know, Pulp Fiction-y era. Everything was trying to be like the next Pulp Fiction, you know, and I think that Go fits into that category, but I ultimately enjoyed it.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that is an apt description. And it had a cool, it was like the 90s cool soundtrack for like a couple days.
Right, and that William, what is his name? Fitchner? Is that his name? How do you say his name? When he's like trying to sell like that Amway stuff. He's like all greasing himself up on the bed, and everything in their house is from like, I think it's Confederated Products or something like that, but it's like Amway. And they're just doing a whole pitch, like, you know, everything from the turkey on the table to, you know, the napkins and the chairs that you're sitting on. And it is so, I think everyone just has a real honest moment to shine in their role, and I think everybody does, and I just think it's one of those underrated films.
I agree. I enjoyed it. I owned it on VHS.
There you go.
Back in the day.
So I definitely want to see this movie.
Yeah. I think you'll dig it. Like, it's got a real fun Starship Troopers vibe at the beginning. Like the whole backstory is told through like these like news reports and stuff, and
like
propaganda,
that.
Like, we need you type thing. So yeah, I'll have my full review up for the site on Wednesday. Yeah, definitely check out Edge of Tomorrow, and anxious to see what other people think about it. Actually, I'm really curious to talk to someone who's read the comic, All You Need Is Kill.
Victor.
Victor. Yeah,
Victor reviewed it for the site, but I'd love to hear from other people who have read the comic. But yeah, I'd love to hear from him after he sees it, just to see. I have a feeling that it's going to be, it's a Hollywoodized version of the manga, and that they're going to be upset at this
or
that.
So. He's pretty gung-ho with the mangas there, so, or mangas. Is that what they're called, mangas?
Yeah.
Pronounced manga.
Potato, potato, tomato, tomato.
It's M-A.
I hope you like it, Victor, because that's going to be disappointing.
Victor will love it too, and then Justin will be the one that hates it.
No, I already love it. I've already told myself that it's the greatest movie ever.
Was it has Bill Paxton in it?
It has Bill Paxton. It's got the Tom Cruise day, and it's like the Starship Troopers, and it's like the Groundhog Day. It has everything going for it.
Yeah.
It is a twig on the shoulders of a mighty stream.
What?
It is going with the flow.
It is good.
I like it. What else you got?
That's all the movies I saw. What?
Oh, that's all the movies you saw? What about Jurassic World? Randy, do you got any deets on the Jurassic World?
I've got a few, actually. There was some exciting stuff being talked about this past week. Actually, it's kind of confirming and denying certain rumors that have been around the internet. So we know a little bit more about the plot. So if you're wanting to stay completely purist and not know anything about what's going to be happening in the next Jurassic Park installment, go ahead and skip forward about 30 seconds or so. But those who want to hear, go ahead and continue listening. So the next one, Jurassic World, is going to be taking place 22 years after the last Jurassic Park movie that we've seen. So it's almost kind of, or actually it's 22 years after the original. So it's kind of real time, because the first movie came out in 93. And this kind of iteration of Jurassic Park, they were able to open up the actual theme park on the original island, Isla Nublar, where the events of the original movie takes place, and people are kind of over it. I mean, it's been around for years, for a decade maybe or so, and it's cool, and people go check it out. They have like 20,000 visitors every day, but it's not new and exciting anymore. People have gotten used to the idea that there are dinosaurs in this world. So what the geneticists at Jurassic Park are doing is they're doing some DNA splicing to create some sort of super dinosaur. Now, we've heard rumors in the past that they're going to be breeding some sort of crazy super intelligent raptor that can speak English and tote around machine guns. Thankfully, that is not the case. In fact, they're actually going decidedly larger with their genetic super dino. It's actually going to be a big, gigantic beast of sorts, and it's not going to be awkward, like any kind of awkward amalgam of different animals spliced together. It is still truly dinosaur. It's just really effing gigantic dinosaur from the sound of it. So that's exciting. But yeah, that's pretty much what we know. I'm sure I'm probably leaving out bits and pieces of it, but just some of the stuff that's leaked looks pretty cool, and the premise of it sounds pretty amazing. So
I really like that old concept art where it was like that Triceratops standing on its hind legs walking.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys remember that? And then it gets shot and captured and we're sad. I hate when that shit happens.
You know, stupid, what I mean? Humans.
Like when Bumblebee's getting attacked in Transformers and getting pulled down worst. With a net. I hate that.
And it makes it all the worse that he's making all these like sympathetic sounds and everything, yeah. too. It's all sad.
I don't like it. That's why I can't even watch King Kong, because I know what's going to happen, and I look into his big old eyes, and I get so sad.
You feel for the beast.
I do, and like in Planet of the Apes, I was getting all kinds of emotional watching that trailer, especially in the theater. It's hardcore, man. And then Lynn was like, you know, I want to see a bunch of apes die. I'm like, no, the apes are the good guys in this movie. Humans are the bad guys.
But we also know that they're not, well, I mean, a bunch of them will die, but we also know that they're going to win, so... Yeah.
So
maybe it won't be that bad.
Yeah, it'll still be sad, but I think it'll have a payoff by the time.
I mean, something horrible and tragic is gonna happen in that movie.
Yeah,
like Caesar's gonna lose a baby or something.
Right, like in 5,
he's gonna lose some fat orangutan.
Ape must never kill ape.
That's right.
That's a rule, you know.
It's written.
Cool. I'm excited for Jurassic World. Are you guys all excited?
I don't really care. I stopped caring after Lost World.
Oh, I like 3. I thought 3 was fun.
Oh, sorry, wait. I thought Lost 3. World was the second one.
It was.
It was the second one.
Oh, wait. Oh, you're just talking about the third one.
The third one was cool because it brought back Alan Grant.
Yeah, that's true.
And it just starts.
Yeah, well, like 10 seconds into the...
and you're back on the island. I mean, the concept of 2 was cool. I mean, it had kind of a... King Kong feel to it because it brought it to the city.
Well, 2 is actually based on one of the books.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe that's where it went wrong, though, was because it was kind of trying to use the source material, but then it was also trying to be something else. Everything that was interesting about Michael Crichton's books was just not in the movie. So
yeah.
Lost World
is amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
So no, the book. Know, what... No, books are amazing.
Yeah, you know, with the words.
No. Lies!
Speaking of books that get turned into visual adaptations. Well, who watched Game of Thrones last night?
I fucking did.
I did.
Oh my god. That was some crazy shit.
Some serious... My name is Inigo Montoya.
I know, right?
Scared to die. Vibes.
Oh,
man. It was pretty good, dude.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I liked what I saw, and the ending was a bit graphic.
Yeah, I closed my eyes.
Man.
I didn't want to see that.
It was like a grape.
Yeah.
Or a cantaloupe, rather.
It's a big water balloon.
Yeah, it was disgusting. Disgusting.
But yeah, like I was seeing people super outraged about it online.
Why?
But it's like, come on, you guys. It's Game of Thrones.
Why were they outraged?
Because of Oberyn dying, and also because of how graphic it is.
Read a fucking book, man.
All right. But I mean, well, at this point, you should be used to it.
Yeah.
Nobody is safe. Nobody.
Lynn was telling me about this bumper sticker she saw on Reddit where it's like, guns don't kill people.
George R. R. Martin kills people.
That fucking guy.
It's true.
Dude, I liked how Jamie was totally into the fight. Like,
yeah.
Loving it. Like,
oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, he was like kid watching at Medieval Times or something.
And then Cersei was just like, she was like that sour look that she had when she thought, when they all thought that the mountain was dying, was dead, or that Oberyn was going to win.
Hmm.
I mean, technically, I think, well, I don't know. Did the mountain die?
Well,
or was he still kind of alive?
I think it was a last ditch effort that he killed him, and then
it looked like he
just killed over. Yeah. He could have either just been spent or he died. But either way, because Oberyn died first,
right?
I think
so
they give him the victory.
Exactly.
Yeah, the mountain definitely wins.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, when they thought that Oberyn had won at first, and Cersei just looked like so pissed, and Jaime was like, oh, yeah. Oh, God, I loved that. And then, like, Larya's scream. Oh,
yeah,
that lady knows how to shriek with a horrified shriek. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty awful.
Amazing.
That was a horrible, horrible thing to witness.
Yes, it was terrible.
And he totally had it, too. He would have just stuck his face from, like, 8 feet
honestly.
Away. Like, total, like, 39.5-foot pole Grinch style. He could have won.
He allowed his hubris to get away with him, and he paid the price.
Yes.
Poor Tyrion.
Yeah, that's a shame. It's just one of those things when people that don't know about what's happening, it's like so exciting because you're watching and you're seeing it play out, and it was pretty close to like the book and everything and how he was taunting him, and I loved that. And I was just so excited. The hair was standing up on my arms, and when it was over, I was just 100% satisfied with what I saw.
Me too. Yeah.
The only thing they didn't really get into was that his spear was poisoned, and that's why he was hurting him so much. But
yeah, you see him polish his spearhead a little bit, like he's putting stuff on it.
Yeah, I was fine without the extra exposition. But
yeah,
they might add that in later. There's still the possibility, like if the mountain's still alive, there's still the possibility of them adding that in. But I don't really think it's necessary.
Right. Yeah,
just I mean, he did get stabbed in the stomach. Like back then, people didn't recover from stabs to the stomach.
Right. And I liked how Tyrion was like, you don't get a name like the Red Viper unless you're like really cool, right?
It's like, yeah. I've never seen a fight.
Yeah, it was neat. What'd you think of it, Randy, as someone that didn't really know what was going to happen?
I was literally on the edge of my seat. I loved every second of it. And I had no idea that was coming. But I just kept thinking, just finish him, just fucking finish him, finish him. He's not gonna say it. Just fucking kill him. Ah, he should have listened to me.
You gotta scream louder, dude.
Yeah.
You must have been watching the West Coast feed. Yeah. You know? He only listens to the East Coast feed.
Oh, that'd be funny.
Recorded from a previous broadcast.
Yeah.
But so I had actually been like telling some friends earlier this week that I kind of wish I hadn't read the book so that I could be more surprised by things that happen in the show and, you know, be discovering it more. Cause I've actually found myself being a little bit bored this season because I know everything that's going to happen. But this fight, oh my God, I had heart palpitations. I knew exactly what was going on, and I was still, like, I felt my heart racing. It was amazing.
It was good. He was twirling that spear around like he's been doing it his whole life.
Yeah.
That was cool.
But I know how you're saying, Amanda, about knowing what's happening. I wouldn't say I've been bored. It's just I've been waiting for Trial by Combat and for the Battle at the Wall for this whole season to where everything else is just kind of like, I know I have to sit through it to get to these two cool parts, and it looks like next week is going to be Wall up the wazoo.
Yeah, the episode, the traditional episode 9 being, you know, the flagship of the season.
Yeah,
and you know, we felt that way all season. Actually, at first it was we were waiting for Joffrey, then we were waiting for, you know, the trial by, or then we were waiting for at some point the whole incident at the Eyrie. We didn't know when that was going to happen, but we were definitely waiting for it. We were hoping to throw out Lysa. And then the Trial by Combat and the Wall, and it's just been it's just one of those things where you're just like, God damn it, hurry up and get to it already.
Right, like last season we were waiting for the Red Wedding.
Right.
And then like when the Red Wedding was on, we're like, I don't want to watch this.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and I do like the whole with the Hound and Arya. You know, they make it all the way to the Blood Gates.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see what happens there since they're at the Eyrie. So are they just going to turn back around?
Maybe. When she started laughing, that was so funny.
Yeah.
It's like, I would be pissed. And I just think that that's so wonderful how it's just like, you have to laugh at this point, right? Because all this work and all this effort, you know, what else is there to do? It doesn't do any good to be mad. I know me personally, I would be mad, but I love that she just laughed. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's just like, it's so absurd, everything that she's been through. Every time she thinks that she's going to be safe, it's just one more fucking thing.
You gotta laugh so you don't cry.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Speaking of Starks, damn, Sansa's like really stepping it up.
Yeah, she wants to ride the fucking finger train.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh, gross. Say it like that.
She was kind of playing the part there. You saw that smile at, you know, when they had that little one-on-one towards the end.
Oh yeah, I thought like maybe I imagined it a little bit, but then when she comes out in that dress, I was like, oh dang.
Yeah,
she knows what she's doing now.
Mm-hmm. She's been hanging out with those goddamn Lannisters so long.
Yeah.
That and now Littlefinger. I mean, he was just like, you know, that he was just standing in his pants there when she was spinning the little web of lies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see him back there smiling like, oh my God, I love this girl even more than I ever have before.
Well, because like her lies was seemed so well rehearsed. I thought at first that maybe they had just somehow gotten their story straight ahead of time. But then, yeah, like later when he goes and talks to her, it's clear that he had no idea that she was going to do that.
Right.
Maybe
she didn't even know she was going to do that.
That's true.
Until it was started to kind of play out, and then it was working. And then I think it's just one of those things where after you have a good cry, you're just kind of over it.
Right. I mean, it's not like she was faking the crying. I'm sure, like I mentioned in my review, I'm sure it was not difficult for her to reach deep inside herself and find like something to cry over.
Yeah.
But she definitely used it to her advantage.
Yeah,
and
she leads off with that they beat me, they tortured me. Yeah. You know, hit all the horrible things first to get your emotions going.
Right.
All
and
the
she
crowd pleasers.
Yeah. And she didn't actually start lying until she was well into her tears.
And there was a form of truth to it too when she said that she was really jealous.
Yeah.
And she saw him kiss me. Yeah, and then she lied about the peck, obviously, but it was easier to tell the lie when it was almost true.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I like that Sansa is now no longer just a pawn in other people's plans. Like now she's becoming or she has agency now.
Right. She's not a victim either.
Yeah.
She's moving on.
And also, like, she proved very quickly that she is a match for Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, she may not be as deep into the machinations as he is, but she knows she knows what his weakness is, mm-hmm. and it's her. And she's going to use that to her advantage.
I like it.
Womanly wiles.
That was probably her best scene in 4 seasons.
Easily.
Yeah.
Jeez.
For sure.
That was a breakout performance for her.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they going to go with this Hound and Arya thing, though? I know we kind of talked about it. Because, I mean, Arya at this point is already elsewhere in the novels. I mean, I like the shit out of the Hound and Arya together. Like, I hope they just completely nix her storyline and she stays with the Hound.
I don't think they can.
I think they, I mean, you know how she said, you should have let me burned it? I think they're kind of playing into...
Oh, yeah. That's true.
To other things.
He's
but,
probably going to... His wound is probably going to fester and then he'll end up dying.
So, but I told Lynn, she's like, I really like them. I'm like, yeah, honestly, I have no idea where they're going with this. When she gets Needle back in the book, she's basically... That's pretty much where they part ways. So this is, we've seen like 8 extra episodes of cool shit that we're not used to seeing. So, mm-hmm. so
they don't even
me.
Make it anywhere near the veil in the book, right?
No.
No.
After that confrontation, they go their separate ways.
Right. So yeah. So I like how they're deviating a little bit from the books.
That's fun.
Speaking of the books, I totally... For some reason, I thought that Daenerys already knew that Jorah had been a spy.
She knew something was up because they had that conversation once in season 2. I thought they did anyway. Maybe I'm crazy too.
Yeah, I don't remember them having that conversation.
Because she said, don't lie to me ever again. And he's like, I won't.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'll have to watch that shit over again.
I'm super confused. I don't know why she's so pissed because I could have sworn that she knew already. Unless she didn't know that the poisoning was a direct result of his information, or the attempted poisoning.
Right. But I remember he did something that pissed her off to where she said, don't ever lie to me again.
Yeah.
I don't remember what that was.
I'll have to watch it again, but... Friggin' Daenerys.
She's, She sucks.
Yeah. That scene just pissed me off, too. Just because of Emilia Clarke.
Oh, and you know what's funny is, you know how Dave was saying how it was almost like she's in another room and she's just kind of like they CG everyone else around
her. Yeah.
She was purposely avoiding eye contact with him and not looking at him. It totally played out like how Dave said. I was laughing so hard. I was like, dude, they need to hang like a tennis ball in front of her face.
I mean, I understand why she made that choice, but it was a bad choice because of the way that she always plays Daenerys. Like, that is how Daenerys delivers every single line she says. And this was the man that she has trusted throughout this entire journey. He is the closest to her of anybody. And he betrayed her. And yet she talked to him as if, like, you know, she told him to, I don't know, bring her horse around, and he didn't. Mm-hmm. You know?
Farm boy, fetch me that pitcher.
As you wish.
Yeah, exactly. No, I know. I agree with you. Randy, did that feel awkward to you at all? Like, did it seem kind of like...
It didn't bother me at all. It honestly just seemed like she was over it and didn't want to give him the opportunity, because... And her cold reading of, or delivery of, just her performance in general, that's just very much her character. It's her character's personality.
It's just to be cold.
Yeah, and that's, and because, and you even said it in your review, you know, that's how she delivers all of her lines, and I think that's just how her character is. Now, regardless of if you've read it in the book, you might portray it a different way in your own mind, but just the way that she's portraying the character is just always a cold delivery, and she's just very distant and very cold, and that's personally why I don't really relate to her, or why I don't really particularly like her that much. And I think that's one of the reasons why all of us just kind of groan when her scenes just come up, you know. So yeah. It didn't bother me. To me, it was just her being her. It was totally right in line with everything else that I would have expected to see from her. Mm-hmm. So it didn't bother me at all.
But I feel like it's a missed opportunity for her to be different. For someone that is her closest companion and her confidant and someone that knows her, you know, quite well.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I mean, even if she wasn't alone with him but just had, you know, Selmy and maybe Grey Worm in the room with her to feel protected, you know, that would be a pretty... That's like a Burns family circle of trust. You know what I mean? Like, those are all the closest people that she has with her. That, and even the one girl that got
Missandei,
yeah. You know, even her, whatever. But
who can turn on a eunuch?
Impressive boobage. So
she's a hot young woman.
Yeah,
fine young woman.
Uptown.
So yeah, we got our boob quota as well.
Yeah. What about Ramsay Bolton? Getting his papers.
Yeah. He's a card-carrying Bolton now.
Getting promoted.
that was nuts. Cool. So I hear Community might be coming back. On the Hulu there. Tell me this isn't true. Can't they just let it die? Is there like a DNR? So. Can't they sign a DNR?
No, because they want their 6 seasons in a movie.
I know. They don't want to sign a DNR.
I don't understand the movie aspect of it, because that kind of format doesn't lend itself to a really compelling movie. It works as a half-hour sitcom.
Yeah, I can't imagine it being a successful movie or working as a movie.
It's one of those shows that I'll have on in the background, and rarely does it ever command my attention.
Right.
What else we got? How about Charlie Cox? That guy, he was in the Stardust, and now he's going to be Daredevil.
Heck yeah.
You're the star.
You are.
I like that. There it is. I like Stardust.
It's a good movie. Came out at the same time as Golden Compass.
I thought they were the same movie for the longest time. I remember we were at work. I'm like, what the hell is that movie with Michelle Pfeiffer and his pocket watch?
Wait, that's Nicole Kidman. Oh, wait, no. It's Michelle Pfeiffer and Stardust.
Michelle Pfeiffer's in Stardust.
It was tripping me out. I'm like, dude, because they look very similar. Yeah. Like, they're shot the same way, you know? And
right.
It's this fantastical world, I guess. And I was just tripping. I was like, dude, I don't know what's going on with this movie, but there's bears and there's fairies and witches and is nuts. And
Stardust.
Daemons.
Yeah. They're not demons, they're Daemons.
Yeah. I like Golden Compass.
I like
Well, in the book, movie. It's spelled with that D and the AE that are squished together. So, oh,
like when you send an email to an unknown address and it comes back and it's like mail Daemon.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Did you read any of the...
No, I don't read those books.
They're unreadable.
What are you talking about?
Oh, man, I couldn't get like 8 pages. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, you're a butthead.
I'm not disputing that. That's 100% accurate. I don't know, I just couldn't get into it.
Well, actually, I'm not a huge fan of the Golden Compass because Lyra is freaking annoying, but at the same time, she is a 10-year-old girl, so...
His Dark Materials?
Yes.
Yeah. Like Subtle Knife and Amber Spyglass?
Right, right. Pullman?
Yeah, Philip Pullman.
Bill Pullman wrote some books?
No, his brother Phil.
Yeah. His British brother Philip.
I like it. He was the one that was in a coma while Sandra Bullock was sleeping with the brother.
Peter Gabriel. It's Phil Pullman. It's Bill Pullman with a mustache.
Oh, I like it.
Or goatee. It's his mirror versions.
Oh, that's something I can stand by.
Yeah, no, I couldn't get into them. I don't know why.
Because they're British and you don't like British people or British things.
I don't. That's
true. They're also kind of like young adult fiction.
Dave eats that shit up, man. He reads Hunger Games. He reads The Divergence. He reads the everything. The Potters.
The Percy Jackson.
Oh, hey.
Percy Jackson.
You read all the Divergent books?
I have not.
Oh, darn. I should just ask Jennifer because she read them all. I don't want to read them all, but I kind of want to know what happened, and I just want someone to...
I just saw the movie the other day, like literally like 4 days ago.
Oh yeah, I watched that too. I
saw the movie.
It's kind of silly.
Yeah.
It's a very silly movie.
I like that they make a big deal about how it's a big deal because she doesn't fit into any class, but then it's like, oh, well, you can just choose whatever class you want to go into.
But if you fail, though, then you're going to be classless. That's the thing. It's a new rule. It's like
you ain't got no class.
Yeah.
They don't tell you until like almost 2 hours in the movie why it's important that she's a divergent. It's important because she's not like, she can't be like brain controlled, but they don't tell you that till like the end of the movie.
Oh, maybe I knew.
Well, I don't think I don't think she has she understands that in the book until the end either, when that lady tries to control everybody, so...
I don't like how she's 16 and you're 16 when you got a pick, but everybody that's in her class is like fucking 30 and 26. Yeah.
Well, and also she and her brother picked at the same time, and they're not twins.
Yeah, that was weird. I was like, dude, maybe they should do it like it's like a leap year, like every 4 years kind of thing, as opposed to when you're 16.
And also, I couldn't get over the fact that the actor who plays her brother is also playing her love interest in A Fault in Our Stars.
Did you read that book?
No, I have no desire to read a book about a teenage girl getting cancer and dying.
Oh, man, it's like that other Walk to Remember movie all over again.
That's what I keep hearing.
Oh, my God. I cried the shit out of myself watching that movie, and I don't think I could do this. Fucking... Oh, yeah, so Charlie Cox is going to play Daredevil.
Back to the
oh right, yeah, we were talking about a thing.
Yeah, I took the long way to that one.
Stardust kind of sidetracked us.
Yeah, I'm excited. I liked him in Stardust. I think Daredevil will be an interesting premise on Netflix, and I think that Marvel's going to make sure that they do a good job on it because it's kind of the testing grounds for their other projects.
Yeah, like Ant-Man.
Like Ant-Man.
Tell us about Ant-Man, Dave. And how
I don't know, I guess I'm wrong.
And how the studios keep squashing all the directors.
I don't know, they clearly want a comedy director. They talked to, you know, Adam McKay from, you know, Anchorman, Talladega Nights, all those fun Will Ferrell movies. He was, I guess, in talks to direct it, what the Hollywood Reporter was reporting. But I guess he has since been deemed not directing it. I don't know if he came out and said it or if the studio said, hey, go fuck yourself.
From what I read, it was the studio made the statement that he was no longer going to be involved. So I haven't checked to see if he made a statement or not, but
yeah, it just seems like everyone is just kind of, You know, they clearly are trying to go for an established comedic director to direct it. You know, all of their major candidates for directing have all been accomplished directors who are good at comedy. So we're definitely going to see a different tone in this movie. Even, you know, the Iron Man 3s and the Guardians of the Galaxy, James Gunn and Chan, they're good writers and they're good with comedic talent, but they're really not comedy directors. You know, there's a very unique visual style, and I think when push comes to shove, that's really what we're going to find out was Edgar Wright's fault. Is you can look at like an Edgar Wright film and you can tell, you know, he takes meticulous care in making sure that every shot is beautiful and exactly what he wants you to see on screen, and I think that's kind of what is going to end up being what nixed him from the project. He's a director in the vein of, like, you know, think like a Tarantino or like a Wachowski, who knows exactly what he wants look-wise. And if you look at the Marvel Cinematic Universe, yes, they're different movies, but it's almost like it's one huge television show, to where each of these movies is an episode in this TV series. And like most TV series, they are directed by different people, but, you know, they all have, like, a similar grain and grit to them, to where I don't think Edgar Wright's vision would work with that. And then it would be like Outcast movie, and it wouldn't help the machine. It's Marvel. Marvel is very much into, and they're doing a great job. I'm not shitting on Marvel at all. Marvel,
no, but they have a very specific vision for how they want their franchise to go. And so that doesn't necessarily work with a director who also has a very specific vision of how he wants to make his movie.
Exactly. You know, you take like the Fox movies, like the X-Men movies and the Fantastic Four movies, and they look significantly different than a Marvel movie. You take the Sony movies, the Spider-Man movies, and they look significantly different from the Marvel movies. But then you put all the Marvel movies next to each other, and they all have the same like palette. So I think that's what I was trying to say. Yeah.
Randy, do you have a list for us, by chance?
I do indeed. Wait. It's 10 weird ways your favorite movies almost ended.
Oh. There's just one weird trick for your movies ending.
There's at least one here that we've all heard before, so I'm just going to kind of try to blast through this list, because we're probably going to be short on time here. So I'll just dive right into it.
I will not interrupt at all, except that interruption.
Number 10, Return of the Jedi. We may have heard that Harrison Ford wanted his character killed. Well, that is how he would have liked to see the movie end, but it was never in the cards for Lucas. Harrison Ford is quoted as saying that Lucas told him it would hurt toy sales, so there's no way he could kill off Han Solo. But I'd like to think that there was a larger picture in mind for the future of the Star Wars franchise, in which Han and Leia had to have a bunch of kids and spawn all sorts of future endeavors.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I have a quick question. Sorry to derail your list instantly after I said I wouldn't. Would you guys want to meet Harrison Ford?
No.
Fuck no.
Sadly, probably not.
I'm afraid that, like, I mean, obviously if I had the opportunity, I would. I'm not going to fucking lie. Like, I was talking to Amy about this, and I'm like, he's just such a grumpy asshole now, and he's just been such a dick to, like, Star Wars fans over the years that, like, I'm afraid that, like, it would just, like, ruin something inside me. Like, that he would just, like, curmudgeon himself into and just upset me. So
that's why you just talk about his old movie. Let's say, hey, let's talk about The Witness.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Sabrina.
So Presumed Innocent. It's pretty good.
Paranoia.
Oh, wait. He's a pilot. He has his pilot license too, right?
Yeah.
So just ask him about flying.
Yeah.
Ask him about 6 days, 7 nights.
Would Air Force One have been taken over if you were flying the plane?
Yeah. Imagine it. Not necessarily in a situation where you are there to interview him.
Because you're just having a conversation.
If you just get introduced to him at some sort of party or something, I would like to shake the guy's hand, say, you know what, big fan of your work all my life. Keep doing what you do, you know, that kind of thing.
Thanks for shaping my childhood.
Yeah, thank you for being part of so many wonderful, wonderful cinematic adventures that will live on in forever. You know,
please
just
don't say anything.
Yeah, just like make it very not open ended, so that it's like a conversation killer. You go in, you say your piece, you shake his hand, or
in and
pump fist or whatever the F you do with Harrison Ford, and you're out. You know, just to yeah, say you did it.
Fist with Harrison. Blow it up, man.
Drop the mic and then get the fuck out.
Yeah, yeah. Before he has a chance to further ruin your image. Or you just go into it knowing that he is the curmudgeon that he seems to be, and just kind of take it with a grain of salt. And hopefully at this fictitious party that you find yourself at, you've had plenty to drink. So, you know, your inhibitions are a little bit looser than they would be otherwise.
So, if Harrison Ford were to like devastate me, I mean, he would ruin like six of my favorite movies of all time. I mean, like Justin can't watch Christmas Vacation because he heard Chevy Chase is a dick. Chevy Chase wasn't even a dick to him, and I'm the same way. You know, it affects me, like Bruce Willis and stuff. Like, if Harrison Ford would actually be mean to me, like I would like be devastated. I mean, I know that sounds like, pathetic, yeah. But
no, I get it. It would be like if I found out that Nathan Fillion was actually an asshole.
Ruins everything.
Like, thank God he's not.
But he seems like such a nice guy.
No, he is a nice guy. Yeah. So that's like, I know that Firefly will always be safe.
Right.
But like, yeah, if I found out that he was actually like a horrible person, then that would devastate me because I love Firefly so much.
Yeah.
I watch it like almost every day.
Really?
I watch an episode almost every day.
Didn't
Sorry,
mean
to... Randy.
That's all right.
Sorry to sidetrack.
Going to continue right down the list. Number 9.
We got one down.
Yeah. Number 9, Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Oh. Now, the original ending for the movie, it turns out he wakes up and finds that it was all a dream.
Oh, God.
And then there's some news report on TV about some guy that went crazy and murdered 7 people, leaving coins around their body to fuel this fantasy that he's in a video game. And I thought that's kind of funny, but a little bit too dark for what they ultimately ended up going with.
That would not have worked at all.
No. Let's see. 28 Days Later, the zombie film. There are actually quite a few alternate endings, and I don't know how many were actually shot. But
gotta catch them all.
Yeah, let me see here for a second. I read all these at the beginning, and I need to refresh my memory on this one.
It's a happy ending when it's all said and done, FYI.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Oh, okay. So
was it an unhappy ending originally?
In one of the endings that's listed here, Jim manages to save his infected father's life nobly by giving his own, basically draining the blood out of his body and putting it into his father's so that Frank and his daughter could have a future together. But here's the thing. They realized when they were conceiving this idea that it was completely ridiculous that in a zombie environment where blood is kind of what carries the virus, that it's completely absurd to think that any kind of situation where you're swapping blood, that the new blood coming in wouldn't get tainted.
Contaminated, yeah.
Exactly. So that one ultimately ended up getting scrapped.
You would have had to completely drain his blood before putting in the new blood, in right. which case he would die.
And in that case, I mean, you would have to not only drain all the blood out of his vessels, but, you know, you have to make sure that every single drop is out. There cannot be any little bit of anything clinging to vein walls or anything like that. So mm-hmm. craziness.
Plus, no dad wants muscles. You to sacrifice yourself for them.
Right, right. So, speaking of zombies, number 7, World War Z. Originally, the ending, at least in the first early versions of the screenplay, Brad Pitt's wife, while he was off searching for a cure, she shacked up with some soldier. They started a new family. He called her, said, "Hey, found a cure." She's all, "Go F yourself. I started a new life. You should do the same thing."
That's terrible.
Yeah. So,
I'm glad they didn't go with that one.
I mean, I'm obviously paraphrasing, but it was definitely a little bit too dark for what they wanted to accomplish with that movie, so they changed it up a little bit. Here's a classic, number 6, Little Shop of Horrors. It originally ended with the plant eating everybody.
Wait, that's
everybody. So,
I thought that was how it ended.
I don't know. I haven't seen that movie in years.
That movie's terrible.
Yeah. Now, Clerks, this is one that certain Kevin Smith fans may be wary of. And it also, this is something that was available on the, I think, the 10th anniversary DVD release of the film that had all these deleted scenes. Originally, it ended after going through all these adventures throughout the course of a day with these characters. It ended with the convenience store being robbed and Dante being shot.
Wow.
And it was just such a fucking downer.
Well, he's not supposed to be there that day, right? So that's like the whole thing.
Right.
It was on the original DVD release, too.
Was it on the original one?
At Tower Records to get it. Yeah, it was on the original one.
It's pretty dark, and I'm really glad that it went with the more upbeat ending.
Yeah, that's hardcore, man.
It was a very film school ending.
Yeah, I hate that. Honestly, totally true. If you're going to fucking film school and you got to make a movie to graduate, don't have the protagonist die. It's stupid. It's nothing even remotely interesting.
And everyone in your class is going to do it.
Yes. So yeah. Be different.
You're not being original. You're right. Just wasting everyone's time.
Exactly. So be different and have them make it at the end.
You can't ask people to invest all this time in a protagonist and then just kill them at the end for no reason.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid.
Unless it's a noble sacrifice.
Unless it's a noble sacrifice. Like I Am Legend. Which I'm not saying that's like a good example, but I'm just saying.
That would be a great segue if that was next on my list, but it's too late. Number four is Army of Darkness. Now, in the original ending, Ash was going to drink the potion that's supposed to take him back to his current present day, but he drank too much of it and he gets sent forward into a post-apocalyptic future.
Ooh.
So they ended up scrapping that and going with the one that returns him back to his time period.
At S-Mart.
Didn't they have a title for like the future one? Wasn't there like some catchy thing at the end? It was like, I don't remember what it's called.
I don't remember either. I think you're right, though. It sounds familiar, and it's not listed here, so I don't know it off the top of my head.
Probably just making it up.
But segueing back to what Amanda said, I Am Legend comes in at number three. Apparently, in the original version of the story, and I don't think this was ever going to make it to the screen, but in the original version of the story, Will Smith's character finds out only at the end that the zombies actually still have the capability to think and to feel. And to there, he realizes when he sees one trying to communicate, either with him or with another one, whatever. But what it does is it forces him to think back to the point to all the zombies that he's killed and experimented on, and they kind of regard him as this demon that comes and kills them in their sleep. But it's just a complete shift in how he perceives them after he realizes that they have the ability to think. And that's pretty interesting.
Fucking interesting, man.
Number two, First Blood. And that's that old Stallone movie that kind of gave birth to the Rambo character. The original ending, Troutman, which is the officer that is kind of chasing him throughout the movie, is forced to kill him, which would have saved us from several Rambo sequels. But it kind of completed the circle of the whole post-traumatic stress and how do you kind of deal with being a POW and seeing all these atrocities of war and coming back to regular life. It would have kind of brought it around and kind of tied it up in a nicer bow, but by leaving it more open-ended, obviously they were able to do sequels with it. But it was interesting to have killed off the protagonist at the end of the film. As you guys pointed out, a very film school maneuver right there.
Mm-hmm. And Sylvester Stallone is like Mr. Sequel.
Yeah.
That guy can make a sequel out of anything. And it's successful too, mind you.
Yeah, he is now. But when that film first opened up, you know, maybe he wasn't as sequel minded.
Just Rocky, I think.
Yeah.
They were probably on Rocky 3 by then.
Probably, yeah. Because I think that was early 80s, First Blood. I don't have the date right in front of me, but I want to say it's like 80, 81. Number one movie on the list is Alien.
Oh, shit.
So the original ending, instead of Ripley triumphing over the alien and blasting it out of an airlock, the alien bites off Ripley's head, sits in the command seat in the ship, communicates in Ripley's own voice, basically, she's sending a message to Earth, and it just portrays the alien in a completely different, highly intelligent, less of a hive mind kind of creature that we are ultimately led to see them in, and it completely would have changed the sequels. But that version was scrapped, and it was given the more happy ending. And as we were able to see in the future Alien movies, that they are not necessarily capable of that kind of intelligence and rational thinking, and they are just a hive-minded, insect-like creature. Wow. But yeah, totally bit off her head, sat in her seat, and mimicked her voice to call home.
Yeah, that's nuts, man.
Yeah. Pretty crazy stuff. So that is 10 weird ways that some of our favorite movies almost ended. Compliments of listverse.com.
I got a fun game.
Ooh, I like fun games. Do it.
Are you guys ready for this?
Hell yeah.
All right. Well,
the reason I got up this morning.
I like it. The reason I got up this morning was because I had to pee so bad. It was nuts. I was like getting cold. Do you ever get cold when you have to pee?
You get the full body shivers.
Yeah, I don't like that. Forced me out of bed. Anyway, in the spirit of Maleficent, which opened in theaters obviously last Friday, and we have spent a portion of this podcast talking about it, I thought it would be fun to make a fun game based on Disney villains. So what I'm going to do is give you the name of the villain, and you have to tell me which film they appeared in. Sounds easy, right?
Cool.
Maybe that's a little too easy. So what I'm going to
do, I was going to say, is there a butt? That was really easy.
I like easy.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say the villain's name backwards, and you have to try and figure out who.
Oh, man, I suck at this
one. Yay, I'm really good at this one.
Let's see. Yes. Jafar backwards is Raffage.
Here we go.
I claim Raffage. No one.
He's on there. You just got to be ready, all right?
All right. But if this is Raffage, I'm going to be pissed.
Okay.
Raffage.
Raffage.
Yeah. Oh, it's from Agrabah. They have an accent de gras. All right. Are we all ready? Shout it out.
Yeah, I guess.
We're shouting out the name of the movie, right?
No, you'll shout out the name of the villain now.
Okay, the name of the villain, not the movie.
Correct.
Okay.
All right.
Wait, so I'm saying the villain's name.
Correct.
Like Maleficent.
Correct.
Not Sleeping Beauty. Okay, got it.
All right. Strahefoniac-et. Strahefoniac-et.
I heard of in there. Say it one more time.
Strahefoniac-et. 3, 2, 1. The Queen of Hearts.
And I couldn't think of it.
Jeez.
That was a tough one. Yeah.
I knew there was the and of in there.
Which one's the and of?
Okay. Kuniet-pak.
Cruella de Vil.
No.
Damn it.
Captain Hook.
Very good, Amanda. Captain Hook. Rufio. All right, number 3.
Looky, I got Hooky.
Exactly. Zitnam F. Selrak. More recent movie. Makes you cry in the first 3 minutes. A lot of balloons.
Oh, Up. God. What's the name of the villain?
No, Up. I haven't seen Up.
I
couldn't.
Charles F. Muntz.
Charles. I was like, Carl?
Yeah.
Carl!
I love you.
Number 4. Raffage.
Jafar.
I didn't hear David first.
That was a gimme.
Yeah.
I was surprised there was that long of a silence afterwards.
I thought he missed it.
I think we were all stunned.
That's funny.
It's like when you're trying to kill a fly and you whack it and you think it's dead, it's on the ground, you go over, you inspect it, and it just gets right up and starts flying around again.
Yeah.
I got another one in my wheelhouse. Hope he says it.
All right, so what do we got? Number 5. Nagatar Rosenfort. I called somebody a Negatron once.
Professor Radigan.
Very good. Professor Radigan from the Great Mouse Detective.
Oh, God.
Damn.
That's a good one. All right, number six. Immortanes, a.k.a. Incrediboy.
Syndrome.
Very good. Damn. Oh.
For whatever reason, my brain doesn't go to Pixar right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that it would be easier if I had some more recent stuff. Disney goes back to like 1930 or some shit.
So. Right.
And speaking of which, Snow White, the villain, is either the witch or the queen. So it's just not credited Grimhilda. As both. Huh?
Not Queen Grimhilda or whatever?
No. All right. So number six was Syndrome, and David got it. And number seven, Not SAG.
Gaston.
Very good.
That's Randy. The one that I had in my wheelhouse ready to go. It was loaded in the chamber.
Yeah. Right. I told Lynn that you would always, like, you and Dave both to pick one, so you just put on the board.
I'm terrible at these games. Like, I have to have one.
All right. Very good, Randy. Gaston. Let's see, number eight. Magnitenfo-Ferris-It. Oh my God. Robin Hood and Little John walking through the forest.
John?
Sheriff of Nottingham.
Sheriff of Nottingham is correct. Amanda.
I said it like twice.
Oh, you were cutting both times. I'm sorry, I'll give it to you, Randy. I'll give you both a point. How about that?
Yeah, it's no big deal. I'm going to hopelessly lose this game anyway.
Well, it's actually pretty close. Number nine. Are you ready?
Ready.
Yeah.
Sita.
Hades.
Very good. David has four.
I still got my one in the chamber.
What? No chambers. Can't walk around with a loaded gun.
Holy shit, I've been walking around with a loaded gun.
All right, number 10. Liv Ed Ellerick. Liv Ed
Cruella
DeVille? Very good. Amanda. With three. David has four. Randy has two. But I have a bonus.
Sweet.
Are you guys ready?
Is this the bonus?
Yes.
Okay.
A loose rue.
Ursula.
Perfect. David kills it. Five.
Good game.
Ursula.
I was waiting for Rax, which is Scar.
Right. I was waiting for that one, too.
I took it out. I thought it was too easy. I thought it was too easy, so I took it out.
I especially liked that Gaston was not SAG, because that just... I mean, it's actually, like, real words, so it wasn't just, like, gibberish when you say it backwards. Uh-huh. And he's, like, my favorite type of actor.
Oh, shit.
Not SAG.
Oh. Because then you don't have to pay them as much?
Damn straight.
I don't pay anybody anything.
Except shit, compliments.
That's true. I shower people with compliments.
I shower people with pee.
I'm just too nice.
God.
Even better. Speaking of pee, I helped a German lady the other day.
Did you?
She was very nice.
Why is that, speaking of pee?
That's what they do. They pee on people.
Germans are dirty.
They like glass tables.
Good game.
That was my game.
I like all games that I win.
Yeah, you did very good, Dave. I'm proud of you.
I usually suck at the backwards games.
I had already had the plaque filled out in Amanda's name, so I need a couple more days.
How about Nicolas Cage in Left Behind?
What is that?
Ugh. Dude, how about Nicolas Cage in anything?
Well, it hasn't come out yet, I don't think, but it's...
I posted a trailer.
Series of novels about the what's it called?
Rapture.
The Rapture.
You can watch the terrible trailer on geeklegacy.com.
All the good Christians get raptured, and then Left Behind is about the people who got left behind. What? Get it?
Not just clever marketing.
I like that song Rapture by Blondie. Is that who's saying? Maybe.
Sure.
Where it's like,
I'll allow it. Sounds exactly like it.
And then she starts rapping. Like the Martians from Mars eating cars. Mercury and Subaru. It's stupid. But it's
cool. I know the song you're talking about. Okay. You're not crazy.
It starts off all kind of like hypnotic and yeah. It's all sexy, and then all of a sudden she starts 80s rapping and it's weird. Rapture. She even says it like that at the end. She's like, Rapture. Oh my god. Don't move too slow, because the man from Mars is through with cars. He's eating bars. Wall to wall, door to door, hall to hall, he's going to eat them all. Rapture. That's real. I'm not making that up.
Yeah. I can tell you're reading the lyric right now.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good.
Holy shit.
Those are awful lyrics.
Well, that does it for another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Remember to visit www.geeklegacy.com. It's on the line. Remember to check out the other podcasts in the Geek Legacy Network. There's the Comic Corner Podcast, which is hosted by Jeff and Tyler, where they review comics currently on their pull list, as well as the Pixelated Podcast, where we highlight a week's worth of news in the video games. Like us on Facebook, follow us on the Twitter there, at Geek Legacy, and you stay fabulous. Thank you.